The Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you in part by BlueChew.com. Visit BlueChew.com for more information and to take advantage of their special offer for Locked On Giants listeners. Enter the promo code Locked On at checkout to get your first shipment for only $5 shipping and handling. That's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name's Patricia Traina. Follow me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. You can find links to my work. You can ask questions of the Twitter Tuesday mailbag, talk Giant football, talk about whatever you want. I'm on Twitter a lot. I'm always happy to hear from listeners and readers and whatnot. And appreciate you guys for making our show so successful. And I hope you enjoy today's show. And on today's show, we are continuing our look at the Giants 2019 regular season opponents. So who better to talk about the opponents than fellow Locked On podcast hosts? Today we have Lucas Braun. He covers the Minnesota Vikings for Locked On Vikings. And Luke, really glad to have you on the program with us.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Well, Luke, let's jump right in. And kind of a question I've been asking all of the hosts is, when you look at the offseason transactions made by the Vikings, I mean, what are some of the key ones that you think are going to really, you know, make a difference for this Viking team, whether it be an acquisition, whether it be a loss or what have you?
Yeah, I think for the Vikings, the answer to that is boring. I think it's retaining Anthony Barr has a huge effect on the defense. You can find Mike Zimmer talking about this a lot, but essentially teams will kind of skew their protection assignments toward him, and it makes blitzing a lot easier, and it makes getting pressure a lot easier, and that just has a ripple effect throughout the whole defense. And I think the first-round draft pick, Garrett Bradbury, is going to have more immediate impact than most first-round picks ever would. I think the loss of Sheldon Richardson, they tried to re-sign him, but they're in a really, really tight cap situation because of all the big-time contracts they have. So they couldn't get a deal done with Sheldon Richardson, and it looks like the starter is going to be Shamar Stephen, who has never been a full-time starter. This is like his fifth year in the league. He's always been a rotational player. So I think you're going to see a pretty big drop-off there. I think those are the three biggest moves. You have kind of a loss in acquisition, and we managed to keep the guy around.
Now, the Giants haven't seen the Vikings in a few years, and you know, a couple years ago, Pat Shurmur, of course, was the offensive coordinator. He, of course, came over to the Giants as their head coach. How has the Vikings offense changed since Shurmur has left?
Yeah, so the Shurmur year was wild and bizarre. Like, it was 2017. It was the year they went to the NFC Championship, and there was a lot of schoolyard ball going on. So I think a lot of this scheme stuff, I mean, Pat Shurmur's scheme is one that, to be honest with you, I've never been a huge fan of. I think it relies too much on plays being made after the catch, and it encourages quarterbacks to throw the ball, like looking for an after catch opportunity when it maybe isn't there, the guy's more covered. And I've found like the Vikings struggled a lot at the back half of 2016 when Shurmur took over for Norv Turner. And I think that the 2017 season was a lot of Case Keenum just kind of like running around and doing crazy stuff. But to Shurmur's credit, the 2018 team with ostensibly a better quarterback, I don't think anybody would argue that Keenum's better than Kirk Cousins, it fell apart. The scheme was awful. I've got a whole bunch of issues I could probably blow through your whole show talking about the issues in the 2018 offense. But I mean, it turned into a disaster. They couldn't run the ball at all. That might have to do with the loss of Tony Sparano, who unfortunately passed away right before the season. It might just have to do with poor offensive line play, but because they couldn't run the ball, they didn't feel very confident running play action. And so they just kind of didn't run any play action. They didn't even really try as much. Like, I think they were in the bottom half of the league of play action usage, which is a crime when you have Kirk Cousins, who has consistently been one of the better play action fakers in football. Pat Shurmur used a lot more play action with Case Keenum around, and I think that that is like a key difference. That's why the offense was good in 2017 and then fell way off.
So when you look at what's being done now in the offseason, well, actually we're in between here, but what has been done in the offseason, do you think the Vikings are going to get back to playing to the strength of Kirk Cousins, or have they pretty much soured on him and are just stuck with him at this point?
So again, perfectly honest, I've always been a Cousins hater. I didn't want him to come to the Vikings. I don't think that acquiring him and marrying yourself to him for 3 years was a good call. So with that bias, I think that they are kind of stuck with him, but I think that the team definitely will believe in him a lot more than I personally do. They brought in Gary Kubiak. They brought in all of his kind of cronies, the people that have followed him through Houston and Denver and even a weird year in Baltimore. And that should help the run game scheming. You know, Gary Kubiak's one of the best run game, zone running game schemers in the history of football. I mean, he created like Arian Foster and Terrell Davis and all these guys, you know, went through his scheme, and hopefully Dalvin Cook is the next in that line. And so hopefully if they can get the running game just to a point where it's serviceable, they can feel a little bit more comfortable running play action. And then you can kind of get back to like how Sean McVay and Gruden were so good at, had so much success with Kirk Cousins.
So in addition to the quarterback, you know, you mentioned a little bit about the running game. What about the rest of the skill position players? Obviously Adam Thielen had a big year last year. I believe Stephon Diggs, didn't he have a big year as well? What do you anticipate for those guys? Can Thielen repeat what he did last year, or are things going to kind of change a little bit?
Yeah, so what Thielen did last year was completely outside the realm of, it was off the charts, so I'm sure it'll come back to reality just a little bit, because that's just a hard thing to do over and over again. But those two are by far the best players on the offense. I think Dalvin Cook is also a very important weapon, just because he's very, very good at forcing and generating missed tackles. And it, when you're scheming, you can kind of hopefully like try to rely on that. And you can, like, between those three, and then Kyle Rudolph is somebody that I haven't really believed too much in. I think he's just kind of a guy. And that's fine. He's a starting quality tight end. It's not like I think he shouldn't be out there or anything, but I think he's just a guy. And then you have the fifth skill position, whether it's a second tight end or a third wide receiver, is very much up in the air. Laquon Treadwell has completely fallen off. The reports now coming out of camp are that he's not even guaranteed to make the team. And coming in to replace him, there's Chad Beebe, who was an undrafted free agent tryout rookie last year, who ended up making the team, was kind of a surprise, and he's been coming on really strong, and there's a lot of optimism coming out of camp from him. Irv Smith, the second-round tight end, might be the guy that takes most of those snaps. Jordan Taylor, who came from the Broncos, he was kind of a rotational player there, might come and take on the same role here. By the end of last year, the guy taking the most wide receiver three snaps was Aldrick Robinson, who they declined and didn't even offer a contract to. So they didn't want to re-sign him at all. And it's going to be kind of a big like story of training camp is who comes in. You know, you got Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph, Cook, who's the fifth guy.
You know, you mentioned Kyle Rudolph. Now, earlier in the year, there was talk that he was on the trade block, you know, especially after they drafted Irv Smith. But then they went and I believe they gave Rudolph a contract extension. What exactly, you know, went down with that whole thing? That was kind of a weird situation, no?
Yeah, so what was wild about that was that the whole thing was negotiated through the media. Like, all of the negotiations were leaked. And that's usually something that you know, either camp will kind of do on purpose to try to drum up public opinion one way or another and try to influence the negotiation. So we kind of got, you know, lucky us, we got a little bit of a window into what was going on. But basically what happened was Kyle Rudolph was entering the final year of his contract this year, which means that usually the Vikings like to get extensions done right before training camp of your contract year, which is about when they got it done with Kyle Rudolph. But there was a lot of distance between the Vikings and Kyle Rudolph. A lot of it had to do with cap concerns. A lot of it had to do with guarantees. So they offered him a 5-year extension, and he said no. And he actually admitted here, Kyle Rudolph himself actually said that in an interview at minicamp. He's like, yeah, they offered me a 5-year extension. I said, no, we're trying to negotiate. And throughout all of that, they were talking to teams like the Patriots that had a bit of a need pop up this year. another team, I think Jacksonville was also in on Rudolph, and they tried to negotiate a trade, but none of those teams were willing to offer enough, and the Vikings declined it, and they decided, all right, we'll keep negotiating with Kyle Rudolph, and eventually Rudolph took a contract that, in my opinion, is a huge, huge loss for him. I think he took a really, really team-friendly deal because there's a signing bonus on it, but there are no guarantees. And after the 2020 season, he is extremely cuttable, but he doesn't really have a say in it. I don't think he has an option out clause. I could be wrong about that, but essentially after 2020, his career ends when the Vikings say it does. And, if he hadn't signed it, he would have been able to hit the free agent market after this season when he still got plenty of gas in the tank. Now the Vikings essentially get to play him until he doesn't have any gas in the tank, and then they'll let him go, and maybe he gets a veteran minimum contract and a swan song somewhere else. But he definitely, I think he cost himself a lot of money taking that deal. And he said, he's like, I just wanted to be in Minnesota, and I know I lost money, and I wanted to, so it was definitely like a loyalty thing, which is really, really great for the fans, but something that you don't really see that often.
Yeah, that was something, and I know a lot of Giant fans were asking me, oh, you think the Giants will trade for him? And I'm like, why? They already have tight ends, you know? But yeah, that was really an unusual situation. Luke, what about the offensive line? I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think they made a change at center. How's that offensive line coming together? Is it still a question mark or a strength of the offense?
Oh, it's a huge question mark. It's going to be the biggest question mark on the team until, you know, something major changes. But yes, so they made a change at center by drafting Garrett Bradbury out of NC State in the first round. He's coming in. He's going to start at center day one. And Pat Elflein, who was the center, is now kicked over to left guard, where he actually played more often in Ohio State. So hopefully he's more comfortable there. One thing that, like, really, I mean, the offensive line was a bottom five unit and has been for like a decade. So it's been really, really frustrating for fans. So one of the major problems with Pat Elflein at center was he was not very good at calling protections. And so you'd see a lot of miscommunications come up. There's a really, really hilarious low light from the Sunday night game against Green Bay where Mike Remmers did a screen block where he like thought that it was a screenplay. So he just kind of like did a lookout block and like let the guy go. And it turned into this like immediate sack, and everybody else was like regularly pass blocking, but he just had gotten the wrong message. And some degree of that comes down to, I think that was a misunderstanding in the huddle, but a lot of those miscommunications issues come from the center, who's telling everybody who to block and who's the mic and kind of pointing at everything out. That's not something that Pat Elflein had any experience in, and it turned out that he wasn't very good at it at all. So hopefully now he can just kind of focus on blocking, and we hope that Garrett Bradbury can learn it a little better. But he doesn't have much experience at this either. He was not a center for very long in college either. So hopefully he can kind of pick it up better than Elflein did. Elsewhere on the line, you had Tom Compton and Remmers last year at guard. They were both horrible at guard, though I think he's a wonderfully serviceable right tackle, and I think that's where the Giants have him. So I think the Giants will get good Mike Remmers.
Yeah, I was just going to I was going to ask you about Mike Remmers, what you could tell Giant fans about him.
Don't put him at guard.
Okay.
He has a lot of tackle habits. Like his hands are very late because as a tackle, your hands kind of have to like holster up next to your hips. And then, you know, you wait for the defensive end or whoever's rushing to come. And then you kind of have to time it right. As a guard, you're pretty much up and out immediately. So Mike Remmers had that tackle habit where he would holster his hands first, and it would make his hands late all the time, and he would like get beat. That's what you're supposed to do as a tackle. So keep him at tackle. He's definitely a serviceable starting quality right tackle. And he should be just fine with that. He was an Ironman before he got to Minnesota, but I don't know, the jersey is just more powerful than you. So he was banged up a bunch here. Hopefully he'll be more durable in New York. But as long as you don't move into guard, you should be fine.
Well, good news, he's not moving to guard. He's slated to play right tackle, which the Giants had a glaring need for. And it's interesting because a lot of people, when they saw that he was signed, they're like, oh, my God, he sucked in Minnesota. And as you pointed out, his struggles came at guard as opposed to tackle, which I remember a couple of years ago when he played tackle, he actually played pretty well. Anyway, Lucas, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about the Vikings defense. So, Giant fans, stay with us. We'll be right back with more from Locked On Vikings host Luke Braun. Stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants here with Patricia Traina and special guest Luke Braun. He covers the Minnesota Vikings for the Locked On Vikings podcast. He's doing a fantastic job breaking down Minnesota, who is on the Giants' 2019 regular season schedule. We just learned a whole lot of stuff about the Vikings offense, including about Mike Remmers, who the Giants, of course, picked up in free agency. He used to play with the Vikings. Now we're going to turn to the defensive side of the ball. And Luke, from what I understand, the Vikings defensive front is probably the strength of their team. Is that accurate?
Yeah, unless you want to argue for the secondary, which you could make an argument for that too. But the whole defense is pretty much solid top to bottom.
And tell us a little bit about that the front seven. You mentioned Anthony Barr came back. That was kind of a weird thing where, you know, he agreed to sign with the Jets and then he decided to come back. Are they going to change up how they use him? I mean, can you just talk a little bit about how they're set up and how they make use of that front seven?
Yeah, so they run a 4-3 with Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter as the edge rushers. Everson Griffin had a bit of a down year last year because he had a mental health kind of snafu, and he had to take a leave of absence to get his head right, and when he came back, he wasn't quite the same. It seems like that's very much in the rearview mirror, so if you are an IDP fantasy player, Everson Griffin should be the guy that you're used to him being, and Danielle Hunter is just a beast. Linval Joseph at nose tackle is a beast, and then I already talked about Shamar Stephen as the three technique. And then you have Anthony Barr, who plays, like, think of if you had, like, a 3-4 outside linebacker in a 4-3, but he doesn't quite pass rush that much. He feigns it a lot. So, he's a very disruptive pass rusher. You essentially can't put a running back or a tight end on him and be comfortable with that. So, if he is threatening blitz, you kind of have to move your protections a little bit, and then that's where Zimmer will then kind of destroy you and make your offensive linemen confused, and they'll do something bad and dumb, and then you get pressure. And that's essentially how the Vikings have worked since Zimmer got here in 2014. Eric Kendricks is also a reasonable pass rusher, but more of a cover linebacker. And then they have a little bit of a competition for that third linebacker spot, but that's more of a backup kind of rotational role nowadays anyways with all the 11 personnel going around. That's where the front seven pretty much ends. It's a very much, I mean, and they try all kinds of weird blitzing stuff. They also have Stephen Weatherly, who may spell Everson Griffin since he's kind of getting up there in age, as a really important rotational piece. And one guy that I wanted to point out as a three technique who might come in as a rotational guy who has a dark horse shot of making the team is Hercules Mata'afa. If you followed the draft last year, he was an extremely undersized defensive tackle and went undrafted because of it. Even though he was disruptive enough, a lot of people had him in the third or fourth round. He fell all the way out of the draft. Signed with the Vikings, they tried to put him at linebacker because he's much more suited to be a linebacker, but he's never covered before, so that immediately didn't work. They were like, all right, you're just going to be a small defensive tackle. And but before he could get any momentum, he tore his ACL and he was out for the year. Well, he's back this year. They put him at defensive tackle. They're not messing around. And he is one of the highlights coming out of minicamp and OTAs. Obviously no pads on, so you can only know so much, but he looks quick, disruptive, and he actually is kind of a dark horse to take that.
All right. I'm looking at the depth chart for the Vikings defense, and it doesn't look like they have much change, if any change, from last year. Looks like the same units coming back.
Pretty much. They have been really, really steadfast about keeping all of their defensive core, and communication is so important to the way that Mike Zimmer plays. Because he essentially has like alignment rules. So the defensive alignment and formation is something that he's not like calling. He's not calling that out every time. It's actually like, you know, depending on where the tight end lines up or what the personnel is or kind of where, if they're, you know, on the weak side or strong side, they all have a set of rules that they then have to kind of align accordingly. And that requires really, really strong communication. So the fact that all these guys have played together, they're in their like sixth year together, is going to be really important, and that's why they're willing to shell out a lot of money for pretty much everybody on that defense.
Now, let me ask you, I don't know how familiar you are with the Giants personnel for this year, but based on what you do know, where do you see the tough matchups, the matchups that, you know, to keep an eye on, Giants offense versus Vikings defense?
Oh, man. Giants offense versus Vikings defense, I would say Saquon Barkley in the pass game. Okay. We have Eric Kendricks is really good at covering running backs. But, you know, Saquon is Saquon, and I feel like he'll be able to do his damage. I also think an interesting matchup to watch would be Evan Engram against, it's probably J'Ron Curse, but he actually has some competition for that in camp. J'Ron Curse is a safety, but he's almost linebacker size, and they've kind of been talking about, like, lining him up in linebacker positions. He played a lot of nickel corner last year. He's kind of this weird hybrid guy. But essentially his job is as a tight end whisperer. So Evan Engram versus J'Ron Curse would probably be a weak spot to attack because he's still learning all that positional stuff. I mean, he's used to being like a strong safety, but playing that. Or if you have Sterling Shepard out of the slot, you might be able to get something from that because Mike Hughes is maybe going to start the year on the physically unable to perform list. He tore his ACL. He was kind of our first-round slot corner last year. Mackenzie Alexander played out of his skull in the back half of 2018, so it might be fine. But if Mackenzie Alexander does regress, you don't have Mike Hughes to back him up. So maybe putting Sterling Shepard in the slot and having him kind of work out of there would also be like a way to attack the Vikings defense.
Yeah, and just looking at the lineup for the Vikings secondary, Anthony Harris – Harrison Smith as the safeties, Xavier Rhodes, who I remember was a real, you know, from a couple of years ago, he was really, really strong against the Giants, and Mackenzie Alexander. That's a pretty, you know, strong lineup back there. I think you were saying that was one of the strengths of this defense.
Yeah, and don't overlook Anthony Harris. He might not be somebody that nationwide has gotten a lot of praise, but he was an undrafted free agent back in 2015, and he's worked his way up to starting quality. And Anderson Dejo was the safety on the team for quite a while. So he gets hurt in 2018 and Anthony Harris steps in and he plays well enough to just kind of not look back. Anderson Dejo ends up on IR. I don't know if that happens, if Anthony Harris is also not playing well, but he essentially took the start and they didn't even really try to re-sign Anderson Dejo, who ends up going to Philly. So he's basically earned the start. And according to a lot of like Pro Football Focus data, grades and otherwise, he was one of the upper echelon free safeties in the league last year. And like, and then you have Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes, who played hurt through all of 2018. And you could really see that affect him. You could see that struggle. And he had a down year, which for him is like he was only top 15 rather than top like 10. But still, you know, something that as Vikings fans, we were a little not used to seeing him struggle like that. And Trey Waynes has kind of slowly also gotten more sound in coverage. But he's much more suited to cover like burners and speedsters because he's very, very, he's participated in the 40-yard dash thing this weekend. But he's not as good at covering guys like, you know, shiftier guys, guys like, I mean, Odell Beckham would have destroyed him, which is why they had Xavier Rhodes shadow Odell at that time. I don't know what the Giants, I'm a little unfamiliar with the Giants' weapons in receiving other than Engram and Sterling Shepard. But if you have anybody shifty and you can get them lined up on Trey Waynes, that would probably be a good way to kind of expose him. Just don't put your fastest burner on him because he can keep up with anybody on a go.
Now, in terms of the overall Vikings team, you know, with training camp coming up, what are the three things you want to feel better about by the time training camp ends?
So I'm really worried about the offensive line depth. There's basically after this kind of starting five, you have Rashad Hill, who is not a starting quality player. He's a fine backup, but you kind of don't want him on the field. And Drew Samia, who is a rookie, who I don't think will be ready to play year one. He's a fourth round rookie, and a whole bunch of whoever's. So if anybody gets hurt throughout training camp and you have to start week one without that starting five offensive line, I'd be very, very worried about that. So I'm hoping a lot that they stay healthy. I want to see a lot of passing to Dalvin Cook versus pounding Dalvin Cook up the middle or Alexander Mattison up the middle. I think that is just kind of a waste of plays, and it's a waste of your talents because you just don't have the offensive line to overpower people or win a like physical grind them out. I mean, we are not the Seahawks or the Cowboys. We do not have the offensive line for that. So pounding them up the middle a bunch, we see that a lot in preseason games. I'd be a little concerned, and I'd want to see better scheme. And then I really want to see Xavier Rhodes play healthy and stay healthy. He sat out a little bit in minicamp and OTAs and stuff. He comes up limping a lot. Some people have conspiracy theories that he only does it when he gets beat as like an excuse. I think he just is always playing through an injury, and it makes him struggle. I want to see him get healthy and get back to form.
Now, I saw something, I was reading an article before we started taping, that there's concern that the Vikings window is closing. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, sure. Everybody's getting old. Harrison Smith's going to be 30. Everson Griffin's getting up there. You know, guys, defensive pieces that were on rookie contracts are no longer on rookie contracts. That said, it depends on how well they've drafted in the last like 3 years, which has been, I think, more hit or miss than they were in like 2014, 2015, 2013, when they were getting, you know, Rhodes and Sharif Floyd, who had his whole like surgery kerfuffle and ended up having to retire, which is really tragic. And I think, you know, the next wave of the Vikings is absolutely coming. The idea that their window is closing would imply that you don't believe in that next wave of Vikings. And I think that that's fair. I believe in them more than those people probably do, but I definitely see that perspective.
And anything else that is worthwhile mentioning that Giant fans should know when that matchup comes up?
I think that they should definitely watch out for Chad Beebe. I think by that time in the year, I think if he's come on, he will really be on. And considering that the Giants will probably spend a lot of effort making sure that, you know, Diggs and Thielen are bracketed all the time, those tertiary guys will definitely get a chance. But if you believe in the Giants' ability to pass rush, or even if you don't, this is going to be the game where, you know, if not now, when? Because the offensive line is still absolutely going to be a question mark.
Based on what you're telling me about the offensive line, the Giants should have a dozen sacks in that game, you know.
And Kirk Cousins is not very good at eluding them, as you are probably very familiar with.
Yes, indeed. And it's funny because that's one of the big questions we are trying to get the answer to, is where is the Giants pass rush going to come from? And, you know, we'll find out once they put the pads on. But I'll tell you what, considering they had all the high priced talent last year, you know, they had their struggles, especially with covering on the back end. And I just, you know, I hope they can cover these speedy receivers that the Vikings have. Otherwise, it's going to be a long afternoon for the Giants.
Who is on the pass rush now?
They signed Marcus Golden, former Cardinal. Right. They're going to be turning to Lorenzo Carter, who played, you know, he was a draft pick last year. He played in some spot duty. They drafted O'Shane Zimenez out of Old Dominion. They have Kareem Martin. He's another edge player. But, you know, the big thing with the Giants with their pass rush is not so much, you know, that they couldn't get pressure. They were able to get pressure, but the back end of the defense was so weak. I mean, how many times we saw, you know, the cornerbacks not hold their coverage. It was just, you know, it was a struggle, you know, for them. So hopefully they put a focus on that, and we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, that's a big question mark for the Giants for sure.
Yeah. Wow. That's that'll be really interesting to see all those guys come together. That's a young core.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of youth, but they're very optimistic, and, you know, hopefully by the time they get to that game, they give the Vikings a little bit of a run for their money.
Yeah. We'll see which quarterback we're playing.
Yeah, too. That too. I mean, if they're in the playoffs, it'll be Eli, assuming he's healthy. If not, could be the rookie, but it'll certainly be interesting. Luke, great stuff as always. Tell the folks where they can find all your great work.
Yeah, so you can find Locked On Vikings the same way you find Locked On Giants. Just change the word, smart device, any podcast app, Himalaya, whatever you like. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can also find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Right now, we are about to finish the 90-man series, which is I've gone through just about everybody on the roster and gone through kind of like their backstory and where they came from and stuff. So if there's anybody from your favorite old college or somebody from a team you used to root for or something that you want to check in on, go check that out. Otherwise, I'll start bringing in more preview content and start talking about the upcoming season.
All right, awesome. And you and I will certainly be talking for the crossover show once we get into the season.
Absolutely.
So listen, it was great catching up. Thank you so much for giving us the rundown on the Vikings. Giant fans, make sure you stay tuned. Lots more coming up on Locked On Giants as we continue our summer schedule and our preview of Giant opponents. For Luke Braun, this is Patricia Traina signing off.